It's Garden Talk. It's KSRO. It must be Saturday morning. It is. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher, hosting the show from the KSRO Greenhouse in beautiful Green Sonoma County, California, Santa Rosa to be specific. And you can join our conversation at any time during the next hour simply by giving us a call at 636-1350 or via the magic of technology, steve@ksro.com. Simple as that.
You know what I just realized too? Lynn from Sebastopol was supposed to email us some photos of that white flowering plant that was making all the babies. And yes. I couldn't tell her when to divide it because I didn't know what the plant was. So yes. Lynn, if you're listening, we need those photos. So
Lynn, if you're out there, she said she was going to, but I understand people get busy. So Lynn, if you're listening, take some, not in during the rain, but the week when it starts to clear up and get dry,
send it to us. Use an umbrella. Get out there.
So Gwen, around this time, you always receive, or at least around this time, your onions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When did you order them?
October, I think.
A couple months ago.
October.
Okay. And do they always ship around Christmas time or so?
No, they don't start shipping until, oh, no, wait a minute. They start shipping about the beginning of November, actually. So, but last year when I bought from this company, this Dixondale Farm in Texas, they shipped my order. I didn't get it until like the middle of January. And so by the time I got them in the ground and then by the time I was ready to harvest them, it was starting to get warm and a lot of the varieties didn't mature 100% like I would have liked. They were still all great, but they could have used another 6 weeks or so.
So you've already received your onions.
Yes, but this time when I made my order, I requested that they send them as soon as possible. So I said, maybe you don't know about Northern California weather here, but the best time for us to be planting them would have been in, October,
early,
November.
Because they recommend that you always plant them like 4 or 5 weeks before the average frost date.
Yeah.
Right? So that would have been like the 1st of November or so.
Mid-November.
Because that's about when we're getting frost.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit late.
About a month. But that's okay. It's much better than 2 months later. So I got them the other day. And of course, with all this rain, I need to get them in the ground. Yeah. I want to get them in the ground. They come in bundles of 50. And they're like short little stems of greenery and little tiny bulbs. And I got 8 varieties this time. So I have to plant, theoretically, what's 8 times 40?
320.
Not all of them are plantable. Some of them are a little bit small. But I had a good idea, though, of how I was going to plant them to make it be easy and go fast. My soil is like fantastic because of all the horse manure I've been adding. So I got it all worked up and ready to go. And I know exactly where I'm planting them. So, I dug a hole a few places with my shovel. And the soil is wet, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a big stick about an inch by an inch diameter, like a little square.
Yeah.
It'll be like, 2 or 3, 4 feet tall, so I don't have to bend down so much. And I'm going to stick it in the ground, about 3 inches deep, I guess. Every 4 inches, I'll have my string strung out so I can stay in a straight line.
Yeah.
And I'll poke that stick down every 4 to 6 inches going down. I'll have a piece of red tape wrapped around so I know how far 3 inches is, so I don't go too deep or not.
Sure.
And then I get all those holes put in the ground. Then I'll take my little starts and drop them down in there, and then I'll just kick it, kick the soil over, step on it, and get them snug in the ground, and there you go.
Simple as that?
Not a lot of bending, not a lot of digging with the trowel.
And you don't fertilize your onions at all.
I got manure that does all that.
That does all your fertilizing.
Yeah. So isn't that an easy way and a fast way to get before the rain comes?
And so, when should those be harvested?
Well, it depends on the varieties. My Cipollinis will probably be ready in May. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the bigger onions, like my Candy and Red Candy and Superstar, Highlander, those will probably be ready more like the end of June, and then I'm pushing it.
Okay, and you got to wait till that top falls over, then you know it's ready to harvest, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of the key?
Or when most of the leaves have turned brown.
Well, because they say if you harvest it too early, then the onion sprouts during storage. It hasn't finished the
Yeah. The bulbing process.
Yeah, they don't store for very long. Yeah. But you could cut all the tops off, you know, just let them sit out in the sun someplace, let them dry out.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Let them die down.
Do you remember the other names of the onions you ordered?
There's a, let me see, the red marble, mm-hmm. I think is a Cipollini type. Red torpedo, Tropiana, I think is mm-hmm. another one. Burratana. It's another one.
Nice.
So there's
nice
like
variety.
Eight different types, you know, small little Cipollini ones to medium size to larger ones. But the best are the candy and the red candy.
The candy reds.
Those are softball size, sweet onions.
Yeah. And you know, and this company, people should check it out, Dixondale. They've been selling onions exclusively mm-hmm. for 103 years,
yeah.
since 1913.
Yeah.
It's a remarkable country, right in the hill country of Texas. Actually, it's near a little town called Pancake, Texas.
Oh, really?
Dixondale.
Oh,
and yeah. and the son of the founder, the son mm-hmm. is 95 years old. And he's still dispensing onion growing advice.
You know more than I do.
From the Dixondale. I've just been interested because I remember over the years you've talked about Dixondale.
Yeah.
And so I decided to explore the history of the company.
And you can buy local onions here for sure. But the amount that I need, yeah. I can't buy, you know, six packs with all the little, they've started the little seeds and then you have all the, that comes up like little grass seedlings. Those are way too small. And I can't find anywhere that sells them, you know, the starts, you know, in the quantity that I need.
And are you specific about trying to mix up the short day, the intermediate day, the long day onions when you order those eight varieties? Or was that not as important?
Well, yes, it is important for us. The intermediate varieties do the best here because we're in this area. If you look at the map of the United States, on the top half is like the short day area. Across the middle of the United States is intermediate, and then the bottom part of the state is the long
long day.
And it all has to do with the day, daylights, and the length of hours of days and this and that. And so they'll tell you on their website which ones are best for what areas.
Okay. And so these usually mature in what, 3 months, 4 months?
I haven't checked. Let me see.
Haven't checked to see how long.
December, January, February, March, April. Maybe 4 or 5 months.
Oh, that long. Okay. Yeah, well, that'll be very exciting.
Yeah.
So I want to know how your new stick planting depth gauge measurer works out.
Hey, it'll go a lot faster than what I did last year with just, you know, making a trench with my shovel.
That's
and then you have to bend down constantly and push the soil around the plant. So this will be a lot easier.
This will be exciting.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
And if it's good, you can patent something and sell it online as a Christmas gift.
Sell sticks with tape on it at different increments.
We'll be back. You can take calls at 636-1350. We're done yakking. Time for you to get yakking and talking with us live on the air. Steve Garner and Gwen Kilcher. I'd love to hear from you this morning. What you're thinking about planting, what you've done in the past month or so. Did you put any winter vegetables in?
Hmm?
Do any pruning, any spraying? Hmm? What have you been up to in your winter garden? Or not doing anything, huh?
And then I also have to tell you about something is eating my kale.
Yes.
And now they're going after my cauliflowers. And they're under frost cloth.
We'll do some sleuthing about that when we return.
Okay.
It's Garden Talk. 636-1350. No one on hold at this moment. And you could email us a question or a comment. steve@ksro.com.
Coast to coast, late night, all night, on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market won the Best Sonoma County Farmers Market Award by the Press Democrats Reader's Choice. To find out why, shop the market for your holiday feasts. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to quail and rabbit. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors and sample local dairy products. Everything you need to create the freshest holiday dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Pet Resorts welcomes your furry family members to go to paradise for the holidays. There's still room to book for Christmas. No guilt about leaving them behind with all-day supervised pup play, indoor and outdoor yards, veranda cots with fleece blankets, and webcams so you can check on them from anywhere. Nobody loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resorts. Give them a call now to book for Christmas.
It's Paradise. Paradise Pet Resorts.
This holiday season, haul your gifts in a brand new sleigh. Twin Pine Casino and Hotel is gifting two lucky winners a brand new Toyota Tacoma 4x4 during our holiday truckathon and $100,000 giveaway. These high-powered trucks are bound to make Santa jealous. But to win, you need to play. Earn chances on your favorite games in our spacious casino. Then head to Twin Pine for the grand prize drawing on Saturday, December 31st. The keys to a brand new Tacoma might just end up in your pocket. And because we're Twin Pine Casino, we believe the more the merrier. So every Saturday through 2016, we're giving away shares of $100,000. Take a break to relax at Twin Pine Casino with our monthly wine pairing dinners featuring some of the best wines in the valley. Enjoy chef-prepared meals at Manzanita Restaurant and relax in our gold medal accommodations. There's always a good time to be had at Twin Pine Casino, home of the Millionaires Club, 15 miles north of Calistoga on Highway 29. Twin Pine Casino and Hotel, the only place to play and stay in wine country.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Good morning, Donna. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. What can we do for you this morning? Hi.
Hi. I've been trying to plant a garden. I don't know if it's too late to be doing that, but I've put in lettuce and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts, and I've tried it about three or four times, and nothing's happening. Is it too cold or to do that?
Yeah, well, they won't be growing at this time. They'll just sit there, and hopefully the root system will grow, but that's about it. If it gets really freezing cold temperatures, the lettuces could just melt on you. So if you want the plants to be moving along and growing along, you could make some plastic hoop tunnels for them. If that's, okay. Are they in raised beds or in the ground?
Kind of raised bed.
Okay, so that makes it easier. You could get some PVC pipe or, you know, something where you could make hoops. You know, like you stick one in the ground on one side of the bed and then bend it over and stick it in the other side. And so you make this tunnel look, and uh-huh. You can put them like every 4 or 5 feet apart. Or if your bed is only 4 or 5 feet, then you could put a few of them closer together. But the main thing is that you want to get this greenhouse plastic to put over the top of these plants. Not very tall. You know, the plants are only going to get to be, say, 2 feet tall. So 3 feet would be as high as you want to go. So you make this mini greenhouse for these plants, and they stay nice and warm in there, and then they get some protection from the frost and the rain, and they just grow. They just, you know, like growing in a greenhouse. And that would be your best way to get them to be moving along sooner than later. Otherwise, they will just sit there through the winter and not do anything because, yes, you did plant them too late.
Right.
So,
what about frost cloth? Would that do any good?
No, that just keeps the frost off of the plants. But it might get the temperature underneath there. It might be a little bit warmer, like, you know, 2, 3, 4 degrees warmer, but uh-huh. That's not enough to even get the plants to think about growing.
Oh, okay.
So, no, that's not going to do anything for you. But the greenhouse plastic, where you make this little micro greenhouse environment for them, and then when the sun comes out, it warms it up in there, and then it stays warmer longer when the sun goes down and when it's not a sunny day. And it's amazing how fast those plants will grow under the hoop tunnels than out in the exposed environment. So,
okay.
You know, however you can construct it, I mean, you could think of something. You can even just get 4 posts and, you know, stick them in the corners of your raised bed, and maybe one in the middle, because you don't want it collapsing in the center on you.
Right.
You know, so it has to be maybe taller on one side and shorter on the other, so the rain water just washes right off of it. So, you know, you can kind of use your imagination and come up with a shape that, you know, works best for your raised beds.
Okay. Okay. So, I thought it was just too cold for them, so I wasn't doing it right.
Yeah, it is too cold for them, so they're just going to sit there and wait until spring, and then they're going to start to grow. But you could get a jump start, and that's what a lot of the farmers do. You'll see all those plastic hoop tunnels, and some of them are tall enough where they could walk in them.
Uh-huh.
So you could, excuse me, excuse me, getting over a cold. So you could just make it tall enough where it creates enough heat in there, and your plants will move along slowly but surely through the winter.
So, now, even though I put those seeds in and I put the plastic over it, would those seeds still be okay?
They should be, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So,
great.
Yeah, you'll be, and especially when we get sunny days, like I said, it'll be nice and warm in there.
Uh-huh.
So because the temperature is warm enough, the seeds will germinate and then your plants will be growing along.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, Donna.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck. Have fun.
Nice talking with you. So, Gwen, why don't you unburden yourselves and tell us about the latest round of unexplained activity in your garden?
With the kale and the cauliflower
yes.
plants being eaten?
Yes.
I am clueless, totally clueless as to what is eating these plants. So I will have to send my detective husband out there to look at these plants. So they're growing. And like Donna was saying, you know, she sows the seeds or plants the plants. They're not doing anything. Well, I planted my plants about 2 months ago or so. And so they're nice size. You know, they're like 10 inches high and wide. And they were doing beautifully. And then one day I came along and I noticed that the four of the kale plants were cut. Maybe like 6 inches from the ground.
Yeah.
And there's a couple leaves left. And I went, what the heck is this? And it's hard to tell if they were cut with a knife or an animal ate them. So I was thinking it was deer. So they didn't eat any of the other plants, the broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts.
Wow.
Okay, I got the
specific.
Kale. So I threw the frost cloth on top of the remaining kale plants, which were six of them. And it's pretty wide cloth. So you have to, something will have to really physically move all that cloth off to get to these plants. So yesterday I went to look under the frost cloth to see how those kale were doing, expecting nice, bigger, beautiful plants. They're chopped also. And then, you know, 6 inches from the ground. And then I looked at the other plants thinking, why aren't they eating anything else? But no, there's four cauliflower plants that were also cut. A few leaves left. So I can't tell
exactly what's going on. So what are you going to do? I stand out there with a shotgun all night long, or maybe possibly hook up some type of video or photographic surveillance device like I know you did for what, underneath your house? Didn't you do something like that?
Yeah, we borrowed our friend's, what is that, motion camera?
Motion-activated video camera, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, there we found out what was, you know, walking underneath the house, living underneath the house.
Which
possums,
was? Possums,
skunks,
and skunks. Uh-huh.
Raccoons.
Oh.
And a few foxes. So, yes, we're going to borrow, talk about surveillance and stuff. But, yes, we'll set the camera out there, I guess. That's the only way to know to catch whatever is doing that.
Oh, my God, how frustrating.
But at least my husband's going to be able to look at the cut and tell me if it was from pruners or an animal.
Might be able to tell by just the teeth marks on the vegetation, what size, possibly what animal is causing the damage.
That would be great. That would be Walter's job. Yeah, that's too sophisticated for me.
Well, that's pretty exciting stuff. Well, but hopefully you'll find who the culprit is and let us know in a couple of weeks, okay? So we got the video camera thing. Oh, remember a while back, well, it's not too long ago, when we were out at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, we met a lovely lady who founded a company right here in Santa Rosa called Seedosphere, which she packages different varieties of seeds into these little balls that you broadcast out into your soil. And miraculously, they're supposed to break apart and spread. And effortlessly, you start having a beautiful carpet of different wildflowers. What's happening with yours? Nothing's happening with mine yet.
Hey, well, those would make good stocking stuffers.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd
what
be
a great idea. A stocking stuffer, the Seedospheres.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you, how many did you put out?
I put, it comes in a container with 10 balls in it.
Yeah.
And I tossed them out there in the yard. And that's funny you should mention that. Because remember earlier I said my tomatillo shoots died back in this frost and the tomato starts and the sunflowers and whatever was coming up after, you know, because of the warm weather and whatnot. So they're all gone. But I was looking at these, you know, spots there and seeing where I had to weed and not weed. And I'm like, what is this? This is the oddest thing. There were these little clumps of foliage coming up. Uh-huh. Was not hit by the frost or anything. And I'm looking at it and I was puzzled.
So you didn't know what it was. It didn't come to mind, spring to mind what it was.
No, but then I remembered, wait a minute. It's the Seedosphere balls that I planted. So, yeah, so they're coming up now. They're about 3 inches high.
Oh, how exciting.
About 6 inches wide in a little cluster.
Nice.
So,
and they'll self-seed. They'll continue to sow probably after year.
Yeah, after they've
naturalized,
grown, and when the flowers die back, and then they drop their seeds. And so as long as you don't disturb that area, just keep up on the weeding.
Well, I think that's a fantastic first idea for a Christmas holiday gift idea for a stocking stuffer is a can of the Seedospheres. And you can get a butterfly blend, a bee blend. There's about 7 or 8 different blends of seeds. And they're available at nurseries I know around town. You can also go to their website, Seedosphere. We like these folks a whole lot.
And the sphere is at S-P-H-E-R-E.
Yes.
Hence the round ball shape.
Exactly.
Kind of
Seed-O-Sphere. And support a local mom and pop Santa Rosa business.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. So they're coming up looking good.
We are going to jump into Gwen's stocking stuffer and garden talk ideas when we come back from a break.
And remember that sunflower seed, that plant that was growing?
Oh, that volunteer that popped up. Yeah.
Ice. Starting to bloom.
Your
so that didn't get hit by the frost either.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something if you get some frost and that's blooming? You've got to take a photo of that.
I tried this morning, but I was unsuccessful.
Okay. Well, there's.
So I will take it and I will send it to you. You'll see.
We'll be back. It's the bottom of the hour. As soon as we come back from our bottom of the hour break, we'll take more phone calls. 636-1350 for Garden Talk on this beautiful holiday Saturday morning. Or Steve at KSRO.com.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Sean Livingston, and this is the home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Downtown is bustling this season. Start your holiday shopping and dining downtown. It's the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. There are so many unique shops and delectable restaurants, it will make your shopping so much more enjoyable. Be sure to visit businesses you're not familiar with, as well as your favorites.
Hi, my name is Eric Fritz. I'm the general manager at the County Bench off of 4th Street. We love to have you come down and try some of our handcrafted cocktails as well as our domestic and foreign selections from our wine list. Our service is friendly and inviting. Please come down and see us soon. We look forward to serving you. Happy holidays.
And the County Bench at 535 4th Street is among the merchants who will validate your parking. It's their gift to you. There's nothing like holiday shopping downtown, the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. Paid for by the Chamber of Commerce, the Downtown Merchants Association, and the City of Santa Rosa. Downtown is bustling this season. Start your holiday shopping and dining downtown. It's the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. There are so many unique shops and delectable restaurants, it will make your shopping so much more enjoyable. Be sure to visit businesses you're not familiar with, as well as your favorites.
Happy holidays from Portobello Hats. We're located on D Street in beautiful downtown Santa Rosa. Come on in and visit with us. We love to talk. Look at our hats. If we don't have something you like, no problem. We can custom make a hat for you right here in Sonoma County. Our local milliners are waiting for your order. I love working at this shop because you never know who's going to walk through that door.
And Portobello Hats is among the merchants who will validate your parking. It's their gift to you. There's nothing like holiday shopping downtown, the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. Paid for by the Chamber of Commerce, the Downtown Merchants Association, and the City of Santa Rosa.
The Home Depot is ratcheting up savings on last-minute gift ideas, like a Husky 60-piece mechanics tool set for just $59.97. You save $20. This complete set of tools is thoughtful, practical, and with Husky's lifetime guarantee, makes a lasting impression that lasts a lifetime. They'll be getting stuff done forever with a Husky 60-piece mechanics tool set for only $59.97. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more do it. Valid until January 29th, U.S. only.
The best deals in Sonoma County are just a click away on mysonomadeals.com. Right now, get a $50 gift certificate to the community farmers markets all over the North Bay, including new locations in Sonoma and Marin County. Find all your fresh and local farmers market needs at half the price. Find great deals like this and so many others only at mysonomadeals.com. That's mysonomadeals.com.
The CIA has reportedly concluded that Russia intended to intentionally interfere in the presidential election in order to help Donald Trump win. ABC News contributor and former Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Steve Gagnard looks at U.S. options.
There are things that they can do. They can go back and using cyber forensics, they can determine if there were particular individuals involved. I think in the past we've seen where the U.S. has actually indicted Chinese hackers by name who have been stealing IP from the United States. So they can do this sort of name and shame. The U.S. also has very sophisticated capabilities in terms of offensive cyber hacking. But that's a big Pandora's box that gets opened.
The Trump transition team says it's time to move on. Mr. Trump is attending today's Army-Navy game with former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who has removed his name from consideration for Secretary of State. 200 additional U.S. troops are heading to Syria to assist and help train forces fighting ISIS. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Cloudy today with a little rain, high 59, 57 degrees on the coast. Overcast tonight, low 45 inland and on the shores. A few clouds for Sunday at 57, 55 in Bodega Bay. Monday's mostly cloudy at 56, 55 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Been procrastinating for your holiday gift buying. You have some gardeners in your family or your circle of friends, and you'd love to get them something just perfect that they never would have bought for themselves. Can you help us out, Gwen?
I have like a few different things here. Two of my favorites is called, one is called the Little Mule Multicart.
The Little Mule Multicart.
Yeah, you can find it online on Gardener Supply Company.
Okay.
I mean, it's just a crack up. It's like a wheelbarrow, dolly, hand truck thing all rolled into one. And it can hold up to 4 cubic feet of soil.
That's
or anything. And it can hold up to 300 pounds. It's a steel contraption thing, like a wheelbarrow.
Is it a wagon? Like a wagon that you actually pull along?
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's a cart, and it, you know, you can flip something out. You could put big boulders on it, so, or big heavy pots, and then push it like a dolly or hand truck. It has these 10-inch pneumatic rubber wheels. It's 60 inches long.
Oh, man, it's good
size. I don't remember how wide it is, but that is like a jack-of-all-trades tool to move heavy things from one end of the garden to another.
Do you have one?
No, but that's what I want. And then something a little less expensive.
So wait, what's the name of it again?
A Little Mule Multicart.
Little Mule Multicart. Well, what's the suggested retail on it? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't look. I don't remember.
All right, Little Mule Multicart. Next?
Oh, something less expensive. Little seed sprouters for those people that want to just have sprouts in their salads. What, a couple cool things, too, if you don't want to get that mule multi-cart, a little red wagon or little all-terrain wagons.
Oh, those are good ideas.
Yeah, so you put your plants on there, your potting soil, or pots, whatever, and you wheel around the garden, or you put your baskets in there, and as you're harvesting vegetables, you put it on the cart, and that's what I use all over the garden. Just put everything on the cart and go up and down, your water bottle, your phone, you put all kinds of stuff on there.
Okay.
And, of course, potting benches.
Oh, potting benches. That's a good idea. What about a little bonsai plant?
Sure. Well, bonsai plants,
I think
yeah.
That's a cute idea.
Yeah. You know, put those on the windowsill. They're very beautiful and unique with their unique growing.
So you approve structure. Of my gift idea?
Yes. Your one gift idea? Yes. How about a fermentation kit or a pickling kit?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I know so many people now that are doing their own fermenting and pickling that... That's a great idea.
What about a hummingbird feeder? What about that idea?
Oh, of course.
I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you have one of those on your property?
Yeah, I've got a few of those, yeah.
And that you feed it? I mean, you fill it with the syrup, isn't it? Kind of a...
Just sugar water.
Sugar water.
We don't put any of the red food coloring in there.
It's supposed to be attractive, that red to the hummingbird.
No, the little red flowers and the red things on the hummingbird feeder itself attracts. But why would we add artificial... color to hummingbirds.
If you don't have to.
Right, right.
Okay.
Here's another cool thing that I want. It's a gardener's tool belt.
Oh, you don't have one?
Construction workers have their tool belts that they put all their tools and things in. Well, they have one for gardeners. So you could put your pruners in one. You could put a little notepad, your little cell phone, twine or tape or whatever little things that you could put in your pocket.
Nice.
Off you go.
That's a great idea. And you don't have one of those yet, huh?
No, because okay. I put everything in my little red wagon and then things get dirty and misplaced. And but the tool belt would be great.
Okay. What about a butterfly house? Something that would attract butterflies? You're talking about hummingbird feeders. There's something like a butterfly. Would there be something like that? Of course, we could ask Julie West next Saturday. Who knows more about butterflies than anybody else, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I know there's butterfly plants. We talk about all the different native foliage and plants that would attract butterflies. But I wonder if there's actually a little domicile you could construct for butterflies.
Yeah, and you know what else, too? You're talking about the hummingbird feeders.
Yeah.
Ask Julie. I know the butterflies fly around and they get water from somewhere, but is there a little water feature? Or what kind of a water feature could you put out for butterflies?
Oh, good idea.
I wonder if that exists, because we have something for hummingbirds. What about butterflies?
Let's take a break. Dodie has a question about installing some raised beds. We'll take her call. And others, 636-1350. Plenty of time to take your calls via phone or email, steve@ksro.com, to reach us live, KSRO's Garden Talk.
The Kim Komando Show, Sundays noon to 3. On News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
The holidays are here, and there's no better place to help you create the perfect environment than the Gift Horse in Healdsburg. Whether it's table, kitchen, or home decor, we can inspire the decorator in you. Hi, I'm Carol, owner of the Gift Horse. I invite you to come see all the beautiful and hard-to-find items we've added this year. This season, the Gift Horse is beautiful, glitzy, vintage, woodsy. If that sounds like you, visit our sensational Christmas store. At the Gift Horse, we have everything you need for entertaining and gift giving in true holiday spirit.
From our door to your door.
We're next to Garaday's Hardware in Healdsburg.
Home store,
open every day 9 to 6.
What SUV is so innovative it has aligned itself with Lucasfilm's next blockbuster release, the Nissan Rogue, at North Bay Nissan in Petaluma? It's not because it features the same name as Star Wars Rogue One. It has to do with the impressive styling, intelligent cruise control, Xtronic continuously variable transmission with sport mode shifter, and its ability to travel at warp speeds.
Okay, that last feature, well, it's still in the design phase.
See the new 2017 Nissan Rogue. Rogue One Star Wars Limited Edition at North Bay Nissan. The Nissan Rogue. Available for purchase starting at $23,820 or lease for just $189 a month for 36 months. With $1,899 due at signing. Two or more at this offer. See dealer for complete details. North Bay Nissan. Just off the 101 in Petaluma.
On Earth, in the Milky Way galaxy.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market won the Best Sonoma County Farmers Market Award by the Press Democrats Reader's Choice. To find out why, shop the market for your holiday feasts. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to quail and rabbit. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors and sample local dairy products. Everything you need to create the freshest holiday dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Good morning, Dodie. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. How can we be of service today? Hi, Dodie.
Oh, hi there.
That would be you. Unless there's another Dodie on the line, I don't think so.
No, I just changed phones.
Okay, go ahead. What's up?
We just built a raised bed box. It's 4x8, 24 inches in depth. And my question is, what kind of soil should we be putting in there? And how much? And then also compost, what kind and how much?
So you're going to be growing vegetables in this box?
Yes.
Okay. I'd go to any of the different landscape supply companies and tell them that you need a soil for growing vegetables.
Okay.
And they'll sell you the appropriate soil, which has a mixture of compost in there, some sand and some fertilizers and topsoil and whatnot. So it'll be a good draining soil with lots of nutrients in there to help your plants take off with a good start. But keep in mind, all these man-made soils that we buy have enough nutrients in there to last about a year, year and a half. Mm-hmm. So when you pull vegetables out and before you're ready to replant or re-sow, I would go ahead and add some compost to the soil. You'll see how the soil level is going to sink a bit too. So when you tell them the dimensions of your box, they will tell you or sell you the exact cubic feet that you're going to need.
Okay, and then when you add your compost, what time of year do you add that?
You could add it any time of the year, year round. So when you say you're going out to the store today and you're going to get your soil, okay, they tell you you need so many yards. Okay, you put it in there, tamp it down a bit. You know, get a piece of wood, you know, something wide enough where you could just tamp it down. And I would put in a little bit of soil at a time. Say about, you know, a foot. Oh, it's only 24 inches, you said, right?
24 inches deep.
Right. Okay. So that's not a lot of soil. But, you know, get a piece of wood and tamp it down. You know, put in a foot of soil, tamp it down, then add the rest of the soil, tamp it down a bit. And it will compress a little bit, and you're not packing down the soil, compacting it. You're just pushing it down a bit because it's going to be a lot of fluff. And that way, all the soil will go down. You want about 2 to 3 inches of the sides showing. You don't want the soil all the way up to the top because, you know, if you overhead water or when you dig a hole to plant, a lot of the soil is going to come out over the side. Mm-hmm. So you do want the soil down a bit. And then that also leaves room for later on in the year, after you've planted, you can add some compost. You know, maybe a half an inch or an inch thick. Mm-hmm. Put that on top of the soil, and that'll help the soil from drying out and crusting over. That compost will slowly break down and continuously add nutrients to the soil. And so if you keep adding compost, you won't have to replace half that soil as often as if you just didn't do anything, add anything.
Now, see, I talked to a neighbor, and she said she's never replaced her soil, but she only adds compost, like, say, January, February, when there's still some rain to let it leach down to the soil at the bottom. Would that be okay?
You could do that, but the compost really doesn't leach down. It just breaks down where it is and slowly works its way into the soil over time. So what you could do, what would be better, is to incorporate some compost. But the soil you're bringing in already has some compost in it.
Okay.
Okay? So you're good to go from bringing in your soil. Okay. So you're going to plant everything, and then things are going to be growing. You will be adding some compost during the growing season. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So you could just, you know, put some, you know, even little trowels full, or sprinkle it around your, the base of your plants everywhere, and cover up all that soil that you brought in. Okay?
All right.
And then you pull out all your plants. Everything is out. Now you can bring in some more compost and get in there with the shovel and mix it all up into the soil.
Okay.
So instead of all that compost continuously sitting on top of the soil, which then is called mulch. You know, whenever you cover your soil, the compost name turns into mulch name. So you don't want all that sitting on top of the soil unless you had plants that you were not going to be pulling out. You've got some perennial plants. Then you put it on top of the soil and it slowly breaks down. And
oh, I see. Okay.
There you go. But if you're going to be pulling stuff out, work that compost into the soil. So now you have, you know, as deep as your shovel, more consistent soil instead of little pockets of, you know, nutrient-rich soil, some pockets of depleted nutrient soil, and, you know, some half and half.
Okay.
So does that make sense?
It does. Do I have time for another question?
Sure.
What about growing artichoke plants? And how many plants can you put in a box, say, that size? And when do you replace them?
Well, they get pretty big. They'll get to be like 3 feet high and wide. And so I would probably, if you want to grow a lot of vegetables in that vegetable box, I would put that artichoke plant in maybe a wine barrel or put it in the ground someplace else, because it's going to take up, you know, your planting bed is only 4 feet wide. So you're going to put one artichoke in there, excuse me, about 2 feet from the edge. That's going to take up
3 to 4 feet and then 6 feet high.
Yeah, it's going to take up a big chunk of that planter box. So give him his own room, okay, in his own planter box or planting bed. And every 2 or 3 years, you could divide the plant up, because it continuously makes new babies, and the center original plant will die down. So, and then it slowly becomes unproductive. So as it gets overcrowded, so every 2 or 3 years, you can dig out those babies and transplant them someplace else or give them away.
Can I use some big black planter buckets for an artichoke plant, or is that just, do the roots need more room than that?
No, I'd use a 15-gallon size. 5-gallon is teetering on a warm day, not enough water.
Okay.
You know, and if you put something around, like, go to Sonoma Mission Garden, get some of his burlap and put it around that black plastic, because sometimes that black plastic pot, when they're sitting out in full sun, gets pretty warm. And so you can protect it, excuse me, protect the plant, keeping that root system a little bit cooler by having something around that black plastic.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Well, thank you ever so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And there is going to be a time when continuously adding that compost is not going to be enough, because some nutrient in that original soil is going to be gone. It's going to be used up by your plant. It could be iron. It could be phosphorus or potassium. But something might be depleted, and then you're going to see some symptoms of your plants not doing so well. But you can always take a little soil test of your soil and over the years and see what it's missing or not, and you know, take it from there.
How often do you replace your soil?
Well, I don't have any planter boxes.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So, but I know from all my friends that have planter boxes, about every 2 years, they take out half of the soil, spread it out in their garden, and they bring in more soil.
I see.
And then that keeps it nice and nutrient-rich.
I see.
I'll tell you, some of the most spectacular artichoke plants I've ever seen in my life was when I was invited on a tour for the refurbishment of the Alcatraz Island Gardens about 12 years ago. Do you know they had planted artichokes throughout the prison in 1960, 62, and they were still producing artichokes in 2003, 40 years later.
I wonder what variety that was.
I don't know, but it was remarkable to see. Hey, just a little aside. Thanks for your call, Dodie.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Nice talking with you. We'll be back. I just got a really interesting email, which we'll share with you, about avocado trees. Of course, you can reach us at 636-1350. Still time to squeeze in a few more calls before we turn the show over to Chef John Ash in the KS Arto Kitchen, welcoming Chef Kyle Connaughton from the just-opened Single Thread Restaurant in Healdsburg.
At the Table with Clark Wolf, Saturdays noon to 1 on 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
We're speaking with Adam from the Salvation Army today. Now, the Salvation Army does many things in our community, but today, tell me about the shelter programs you offer.
In Santa Rosa, we have what we call our Transitional Living Program. It's a program that provides housing, counseling, job placement, and basic life skills or training for men coming out of drug and alcohol recovery programs.
So how does the program make a difference in this community?
We've seen some great transformations in the lives of the men who've come through this program. I love to share about Will. He's a guy who lost his marriage, his family, and his career due to his drug and alcohol addiction. After time in a recovery program and our Transitional Living Program, he now has restored his family and his career. It's pretty amazing.
How do you raise funds to continue helping people in this program?
We raise a large amount of support through our Red Kettle program. The money we raise in kettles go a long way to support our many programs, including the Transitional Living Program. We want people to know what happens behind the bell. For donation or maybe even volunteer information, go to behindthebell.org.
It's that time of year when our homes are filled with friends, family, and fun. Don't forget to make sure your heating system will run. I hope you're not embarrassed when friends and family show up. That won't happen when you call 1-844-5-TUNE-UP. Yes, warm comfort in your home is a must. There's nothing worse than a frozen holiday party gone bust. Grandpa's advice while sipping eggnog from a cup: take care of your heater by calling 1-844-5-TUNE-UP. Your heart will be filled with joy for this reason. We donate $5 for every tune-up to the homeless shelter this season. Put off the maintenance and wait for your furnace to go pow, or call 1-Hour at 1-844-5-TUNE-UP right now. This is Paul Bigham with 1-Hour Heating and Air. Giving to your furnace, your guests, and the homeless will show that you care. There are two ways to get your $49 tune-up, so don't delay. Log on to 1hourheatandac.com or dial 1-844-5-TUNE-UP today.
Identity theft is more than credit fraud. It's when someone opens new accounts, files fake tax returns, or does any number of bad things in your name. LifeLock can help, with proprietary technology that alerts you to a huge range of identity threats. And while no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, if you have a problem, we have a team of U.S.-based specialists who work to fix it. Join and get 60 days risk-free plus 15% off. Visit LifeLock.com and use promo code SALE15. That's promo code SALE15. Offer ends December 31st.
Tis the season to win a new Jeep at Graton Resort and Casino's Holly Jolly Jeep Giveaway. Win a 2017 Jeep Wrangler or your share of $50,000 cash. Drawings Friday, December 2nd, 9th, 16th, and 23rd. One Jeep winner and 50 cash winners every Friday, guaranteed. Win a new Jeep Wrangler with Graton Resort and Casino's Holly Jolly Jeep Giveaway. Complete rules available at the Reward Center.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Mm-hmm. Well, I say this every Saturday and a half for the last 30 years. I don't know where the time has gone, but it has just flown by these past 2 hours. Let me read this wonderful email we just got from Mike Kelly. And Mike hosts the Real Estate Hour on Sunday mornings here at KSRO from 9 to 10. He's an avid gardener. He listens to the show, obviously, when he can. He says, "Dear Steve and Gwen, could you first of all give me the web address for the onion source that Gwen just mentioned? That would be DixondaleFarms.com.
Mm-hmm.
DixondaleFarms.com. Also, as a realtor, I have been all over this county. I sold a ranch above West Side Road a while back, and it had two huge avocado trees and orange trees planted by Luther Burbank. The avocado trees were covered in avocados. I came back 2 weeks later, and they had all been harvested from someone who had access to the ranch. Also, this property had two huge fig trees, one green and one black, all planted by Luther Burbank. Isn't that a remarkable story?
I wonder why Luther Burbank planted them. He himself planted them?
Well, again, someone had purchased them from him.
Okay,
I'm not sure whether appears that he planted them. Maybe that's true. Maybe he had access to this ranch up in West Side Road. But think of that. Two huge avocado trees loaded with avocados on West Side Road in Healdsburg.
Wow. So I was just on West Side Road last week. The whole length of West Side Road. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
There's that microclimate.
Yes.
You know, like in Forestville, that banana belt or that Occidental banana belt area where certain of these frost tender plants grow, where no plant has grown before.
So we never say never.
Right.
And of course, when those plants were planted, who knows, 1920? I mean, if they were actually planted with someone by Luther Burbank, this would have been 70, 80, 90 years ago, possibly.
Wow.
And who knows what variety, what the soil, what the water table was at that point in time in Sonoma County on West Side Road.
Just the weather alone.
Climate alone, 80, 90 years ago, plants are able to survive. Other people that have, of course, vintage plants on that have been planted 50, 60 years that we normally would not think would do well here in Sonoma County.
Look at all the citrus up in Cloverdale.
Exactly.
In Healdsburg. Whoever would have thought?
Another perfect example.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
So I want to tell folks that join us next Saturday because Dave Fazio will be paying us a return visit. Of course, owner of Sonoma Mission Gardens, a frequent guest on this show since he retired in 2007. And we're having a visit from Julie West. And Julie West, wouldn't you say, knows as much, if not more, than anybody about butterflies and attracting butterflies to your garden.
She does.
Past president of the California Garden Clubs and a remarkable person. Just gave a presentation a while back at the Santa Rosa Garden Club, didn't she?
Which she's a member of also.
So we'll have Julie West on. It'll be great to have both of those folks. See, it takes two people to fill in to replace Gwen.
No, we just have Julie as a guest.
As a guest. So you'll be back on the 24th, Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Wow, that'll be an exciting show.
Yes.
Have a safe trip.
Okay, thanks.
And John Ash coming your way next with Chef Kyle Connaughton from Single Thread Restaurant in Healdsburg. Steve Garner leaving the greenhouse, heading over to the KSRO kitchen.